Today we are going to be reading the book of Obadiah. But before we start, I just want to show us some PowerPoint slides on this book of scripture, and then I will come back and take it from there. So if you are ready, let it go.
Investigated many of the earliest eyewitnesses of the life of Jesus and then composed this account. Shortest book in the whole Old Testament. It's a mere 21 verses. And at first glance, it does not look very promising. It's a series of
think it's good enough. We can go home now, can't we? Amen. Now, before I proceed and share the word, if you can all take your Bibles. And I like doing this because it stops people from dozing off. So what I'm about to do, what we're about to do is, Obadiah is made up of 21 verses. And I also for you to follow the story. I will read the first verse, and then you will read the second verse. And then we'll do that until we get to the end. And when we get to the end, which is the 21st verse, we all read that together. Yeah? So we all know what is going on. Are you all with me? So you turn to page number 925. And then I will take my time for you to find it because I want you to participate in what is going on. So the only way I will know you have found it is by looking at your faces. Okay, some have found it, some are still looking. Okay. Everybody got it? Okay. So let's read the word of God. Verse 1. The vision of Obadiah. This is what the sovereign Lord says about Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord. An envoy was sent to the nations to say, rise and let us go against her for battle. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home in the highs, on the highs. You who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? So if thieves came to you, if robbers in the night, oh, what a disaster awaits you. Would they not steal only as much as they wanted? If grape pickers came to you, would they not leave a few grapes? All your allies will force you to the border. Your friends will deceive and overpower you. Those who eat your bread will set a trap for you, but you will not detect it. Your warriors, O Teman, will be terrified, and everyone in Esau's mountains will be cut down in the slaughter. On the day you stood aloof, while strangers carried off his wealth, and foreigners entered his gates, and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor look down on them in their calamity, in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth. In the day of their disaster. The day of the Lord is near. For all nations, as you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess its inheritance. People from Nineveh will occupy the mountains of Esau, and people from the foothills will possess the lands of the Philistines. They will occupy the fields of Ephraim and Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead. Can we read the last verse together? Deliverers will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Father, with your word, we just don't want to read the letters. We want to know the spirit behind it. We want to understand it. We want to know how it applies to our lives. And for therefore, we pray that one of the things you promise us in the book of John, that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach us all things. We pray that this morning, that you will teach us your word. You will explain it. Let us know that what you want us to know and how we need to conduct ourselves. I pray that, Father, speak through me and let your will be done. In your son's name do we pray. Amen. This book is one of the books that sometimes I read scripture, but when it gets to that point, I normally skip over it. Not because I don't want to read it, but I don't really pay much particular attention to it. And probably also because I don't hear a lot of messages preached from this book. So when I received the email and said, it's this book, I was wondering, what is there to talk about? But I started reading around, and one thing that became clear from this book is that for you to understand this book, you need to know the history of what was actually going on. And the video actually helps in bringing that to bear. But I came across this story as a person was trying to summarize the whole book of Obadiah. He talks about three animals that lived together in a manhole, and they were very good friends. These three animals, two of them were ducks, and one was a frog. So they live in this water, and then they will play together, and they will enjoy themselves. However, as the weather changes and it became much more hotter, the water began to go down. So in a matter of time, they realized that they can no longer stay in that water. So they need to migrate and find another pond or somewhere else that they could live. But for the ducks, that was no problem because they could fly. But for their friend, the frog, it cannot. So it's either they leave the frog to die in the pond, or they need to find a way that they could actually save their friend too. So they decided to use their mouth and pick up a stick, and both will hold the other side of the stick. And then the frog will use his mouth to hold the middle, and then they can try and fly him, and then as they fly, take the frog with them wherever they were going. The plan worked so well, so they were flying across, and a farmer saw it, and the farmer was very impressed with that. So the farmer asked, who came up with this plan? And guess what? The frog decided to answer. What happens to the frog then? He falls off, and then you all know how it is going to end. And he left the story, the writer left the story as it is. And I wondered, why is a person relating this story to this book? But upon reflection, I realized that there is something in there that the writer wanted the readers or whoever read the story to understand. You see, the frog has got no capability to fly. He can only fly because the ducks made it possible or how to take care of him for him to fly. And I'm sure they were not sure if that plan was going to work. But when it started working and he realized that I'm a frog and I'm flying, I must be on top of the world. And therefore, when the question came, who was responsible for it? Something within the frog jumped up and said, I need to take credit for this. And forgot that the only reason why he is flying is because by his mouth he is holding on to a stick and he was holding on to some other people helping him, or helping the frog. He forgot himself for a moment. And that moment that he forgot himself became the end of him. And as I pondered over it, one thing that came to mind was something in Proverbs 6:16-19. And I will just beg your pardon and go there and read. It says this: there are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 things that are an abomination to him. It says, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceives or devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breaks out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. And as I pondered over this in relation to the book of Obadiah, I realized that the story which is being told about Edom depicts some of these things that the Lord doesn't like. Pride. And you look at the book of Edom and the story behind it. And from the video also, you realize that there were 2 brothers, Jacob and Esau. Jacob's descendants became Israel, and then Esau's descendants became Edom. But we all know that these 2 brothers really didn't have the kind of relationship that a brother will normally have. And then most of times I've read in the book of Malachi, where specifically Malachi 1:2-3, where the Lord talks about that he hates Esau but he loves Jacob. And I've always wondered why will God hate one person and love another one? Because we are all created by him. But I realized from reading the book of Obadiah, but also not necessarily that God hated Esau, but the character in which Esau represented. And I realized that this character of Esau was repeated over and over and over again between the relationship between Edom and Israel. So this morning, as in college, we have always been taught that don't explain too much or don't give too much points. So I'm only going to talk about 3 characters that you will see in the book of Obadiah here. But there's a lot more that I think when you go home and you pick it up, you pray and reflect on it, the Lord will put more on your heart. So I want to start off by looking at what happened between these 2 brothers. We all know, or most of us know, the story of Esau going out and coming back very, very hungry and wanting something to eat. He asked his brother to give him what he has prepared. But the brother says to him, "You need to sell me your birthright before I give you this food." Esau's reply is, "I'm dying. What is the point of a birthright if I'm going to die out of hunger?" But ladies and gentlemen, hunger kills, but before you die out of hunger, it will take a couple of days for you to die out of hunger. But for that moment, Esau was interested in what will make his belly full. What he was interested in was the satisfaction that he will get at that instant. So he exchanged his birthright for the food. And then most often, when we come to Christ, we inherit a kingdom from him. And the kingdom comes with promises. And then these promises, or the life of the kingdom, requires us to live a certain lifestyle. But sometimes, the world as we know it will present instances or situations to us that will require us to compromise one way or another. And then most often, what they present us will satisfy you for a time, but it will cause you to lose things that has eternal value. And then most often, we go for the ones that satisfy us immediately. So that is one character of Esau. And this character have an impact in the way in which we live your life and how your life unfolded. When he lost the blessings of the father, he wanted to kill his brother. He is forgotten that he has exchanged the birthright for the food that actually lasted him probably 2 hours in making his belly full. But the consequence of it was he was no longer entitled to those blessings, because as the head of, as the firstborn, according to the book of Deuteronomy, when it comes to the inheritance, he was supposed to inherit more than the brother. But he exchanged all that so that he can fill his stomach for a short period of time. And then what he wanted to do next was to kill his brother. The relationship between these two wasn't great. And then even when Jacob returned from his uncle Laban, because Jacob had to run away from him, they met, and I thought probably from that point onwards, their relationship was going to be good. But as we read from Obadiah and the other scriptures in Psalms, Ezekiel, and other places, we realize that that relationship never, never was what you called a brotherly relationship. And then most often, what happened was that the people of Edom saw themselves or superior to the children of Israel. They had the habit of seeking gratification or satisfaction for what they could have at this point or at a point in time instead of what will last them. And then as we read on, you will realize that they also perpetrated hostility towards the children of Israel. The other character they had was that even though they were brothers and they all came from the same ancestry, for one reason or the other, they carried on that hostility that was there between Jacob and Esau. May I ask you, or in your family or extended family, or the people that you you come across. Relationship that you have not had with people because somebody else is not on good terms with somebody else. I'll give you a typical story. It's not a story, it actually happened to me. When I went to Spurgeon's, my first year, I was sent as an placement to Tooting Baptist Church. After a year, I was transferred to another church until so I was there. I was supposed to be there for 2 years, so I finished there in July. When I got there in August, by the time I met the whole congregation, at least two people were able to describe to me everybody in the church, what they are like, what you should say to them, what they are, and everything. So I knew more about them before I met them. So one way or the other, as a human being, when you hear the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again about somebody else, you have an opinion about that person. So before I even met some of them, I knew that this gentleman, anything that I have to do with him, the first word that would come out of his mouth would be no. So I went to him with that thing in mind, because that's what I've been told about, that the way he is. And surely, when I started interacting with them, all the things they said was actually, part of it was true. And that gentleman, the first thing he wanted to do was to do some building work. And then whatever everybody proposed, his first words were no, just as he was described. But that information that I got affected the relationship that I had with this gentleman for about 6 months, until I got to know him better. There are so many of us know people, but we don't want to associate with them or build a relationship with them because of what we have been told by other people. Just like Edom here, they probably were aware of what happened between Jacob and Esau, and they carried on with the same attitude. The Bible says that the people of Edom, actually, when people came to destroy Jerusalem, instead of stopping it, they did not only watch, but they enjoyed seeing them going through what they were going through. Have you ever come across people that you could have helped, but you decided not to? And then you said to yourself, probably they deserve it. And you stood there and didn't do anything about it. The people of Edom did not only do that, but when those who came to take captives and steal from the people of Israel, they also took part in it. And the Bible says that even when people have escaped, they either capture them and send them to those people, or they kill them. You might be saying to yourself, I'm not killing anybody. I'm not going to people's houses or watching other people or standing aside. But in your heart, you know that sometimes there are some people you don't get on with them. And when you hear that something has happened to them, some way or the other, we rejoice over it. Something similar was what was going on. But more than similar, they actually partook in doing so. But one thing I learned from this book of Obadiah is the fact that if you look at verse 3, the key thing was pride. He said, the pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the cliffs of the rocks and make your home on the heights, you who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? Remember the story of the frog? Probably it thought it was flying. There was no way it was going to come down. And then you look at the people of Edom, when you read a bit about them, they made their homes in rocks and they lived on a high plain. So they thought, because they live in those places, it was impossible for anybody to bring them down. Probably, yours might be that I have S amount in my account, or I have this job or something, and I will never be in this situation. Who can bring me down? But in their case, it was God that wanted to deal, that dealt with them. And then the one thing that I found out also, because of this behavior, I wanted to know if there was any people still living that could trace their history to the people of Edom. And all the books and the research that I did not suggest that there was still anybody that we could trace all the way to the people of Edom. And that actually enforces what the Lord said. If we read it, it says that he will destroy them and none of them will actually survive. And then you go back to the Proverbs, then the Proverbs that I read also tells you that the Lord hates those kind of things. And the key thing among it was pride. So what I want to portray or bring across is this. Esau gave up an eternal blessing for a moment of satisfaction. We must learn to sometimes endure and not seek to gratify our desires for a moment of satisfaction against the promises that the Lord has made unto us. The second thing is also to ensure that we do not make pride part of our lives. Because I'm yet to read in Scripture anybody that was prideful and walked with God to the end and had a very good relationship with God, our Maker. Because we know for sure from Proverbs that the Lord does not like it. And I'm still basing it on pride. Then as I look at Edom and I look at anything that actually concerns them, and then if there was any ancestry, I came across in the New Testament three people. The Herods. You remember the Herods? Herod of Antipas, Herod the Great. According to the research, they were all related to the people that came from Edom. And then if you read about these Herods and how they ended, you realize that pride is not one of the key things that we need to have if we want to have a good relationship with God. I want to bring one point. Well, I'm going to point to one of them in the book of Acts. The Bible says, I think Acts chapter 12, the Bible says that Herod was giving a speech. And then he forgot to give praise unto God. And the people in the auditorium who were listening to him shouted, "Is this not the voice of God?" And he didn't stop them. He enjoyed that praise. Instead of giving that praise to God, the Bible says he was struck down by an angel and worms ate his body. There are many things I can talk about in the book of Obadiah, but I just want to focus on pride. Because pride has a way of coming in without you necessarily knowing it. Without you realizing that what you are actually saying or doing is prideful. If we are to escape or not be that the people of Edom, I think there are other things that we could talk about, but the key thing that I want you to walk away from here today is to deal with the issue of pride in our hearts. Pride makes you think that you are untouchable. It makes you think that you are superior. It makes you think that there is nobody else or nothing else that could bring you down. And that is what happened to the people of Edom. And the Lord brought them down. In saying all this, how does it relate to me or the Christian journey? I'm closing my Bible because I'm coming to an end. Is this. The little time that I've spent in church and work with people, most often, the people that we lose from church is because we didn't show them love. And then most often when you get to the bottom of what is going on, the person who is actually doing it, things sometimes the underlying issue is pride. It affects our relationships. And sometimes it makes us hate our brothers and sisters and neighbors. We don't treat them nicely. And sometimes we stand aloof, just like the people of Edom did, when there are things going on in their life that you could have helped. Or you will say, this one is not for my country. It's not for my tribe. So I won't do this. But what I want to point out to you is this. If you are covered with the blood, and you have all received Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, then it cut across tribes, it cut across nations. We are united together by the blood of Christ. And this morning, I want to leave you with this. If anything at all, a life that serves your brother or your sister, that you will care about what happens to your neighbor, what happened to that friend, what happened to that family, what happened to that person that you used to know, or the person that some time ago was your best friend, but now you are not longer on talking terms. I'll bring the message to an end on these three things. We shouldn't be like Esau and look for what will satisfy us in the moment as against the promises of the kingdom. We shouldn't let pride enter our hearts and be like the people of Edom and think that because they lived on a high place and their houses were in the rock, no one could bring them down. But God said, I will bring them down. And then he did bring them down. Have you had relationship with people, or you are in relationship with people, and because they are not in talking terms with somebody else, and sometimes you don't even know the full story, but because of that, you are not in relationship with that person any longer. How are you with your neighbors? How are you with your friends? Do you know, or how do you fellowship with people in your church? Are they your brothers? Are they your sisters? A brother is more than those of us that came from the same family or from the same blood. But the blood of Christ put us all together. So I would admonish that these three things, we bear them in mind. And we make sure that what we don't need to do, we don't do them. And what we have to do, we do them. Amen.